Now tell me this, might this be the year you go vegan, possibly? Are you considering it? So many people seem to be into it. Could it be the beginning of the end for the farming industry as we know it? Do we have a responsibility to encourage people to stick with the farmers? Should we be with Piers Morgan as opposed to being with Greggs, who obviously are with the farmers, but they are now going down the vegan line. They're providing that sausage roll to go, which is vegan friendly. Are you holding your breath? Were you holding your breath for a sausage roll to go for a pound that is a vegan sausage roll? Piers Morgan weighs in and says that Greggs are basically going soft or whatever, and they should be using real meat. He's given them more publicity than they ever could have dreamt of. What are they doing? Basically, they're putting corn into puff pastry. So you can do that at home, can't you? But people want it in this fast-moving, slick, now sort of world. So are you considering buying vegan products as opposed to going for the meat-filled? Would like to hear from you on that this morning. The Jay Giles Band Centrefold. I want to speak to Sandra Higgins, who's available to have a conversation with us from Go Vegan World. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning, Frank.
Sandra, were you part of that Channel 4 documentary last night? If you weren't, why were you not on it?
I don't know, actually, why I wasn't on it. I imagine that people are interested in very sensationalist type of news, and to a certain extent, the documentary started out, you know, as trying to ridicule vegans, which is virtually impossible to do if they showcase a campaign like Go Vegan World, because we're not into sensationalism. It's just simple fact, and it's just talking about a very simple social justice issue and trying to educate the public and support them to do the right thing.
Yeah, I should emphasise there was a programme on Channel 4 last night that looked basically at being a vegan, and I didn't see it all. I joined it quite late, but it certainly highlighted some of the very militant and particularly active people who are attacking farms. And if you're considering being a vegan, that's the first thing, in my opinion, that's the first thing that's going to stop you supporting anyone. And it was said by the documentary maker towards the end, the most persuasive people are the softly spoken, those who cook vegan and cook it well. And maybe he gave an example of someone selling it at a little stall, and a very eloquent young woman was on towards the end of it, who was softly spoken and a very good cook and all the things that you'd be interested in. So if people try to persuade the public that going vegan is an option, would you agree with me that you're better to do it by cooking as opposed to by breaking into people's premises?
I wouldn't, actually. It has nothing to do with cooking. Veganism is based on a very simple fact, and that is the fact that other animals feel physically and psychologically. So they have emotional and physical feelings that are the same as ours. They're based on the same neuropsychology that humans have. And because they have the same physical and psychological feelings, we don't have the right to do what we're doing to them. So we don't have the right to breed them, own them, use them, or kill them. So because most of the animals that we use in our diet, people have confused veganism with a diet and with cooking, but it's not. And I think there's been veganism has gone mainstream. We all know that now. There are much more options for vegans than there used to be, but those options are in personal care products, cosmetics, cleaning products, clothing, entertainment. So the market is following the demand for non-vegan products, and food is only one of those products. And that is because veganism is not a diet. It's a way of thinking and feeling about other animals respectfully and non-violently.
Yeah, I accept what you're saying there, because I think there were other examples towards the end of the programme of people selling creams and ointments and various things that very often would have animal products in them, but these vegans didn't have them in them. But their approach was genteel, whereas there were other people who were breaking into farms and filming pigs in pig houses. And there was a farmer who had his, I think the term he used was his farm was like Fort Knox, and he was prepared to stand firm against those who were breaking in, because he says eventually they will go on and break into someone else's farm. Would you condemn people who do trespass on farms?
What I condemn is people who it's in every rights movement, in every social justice movement, you know, you have the most people are very rational, it's very fact-based, and eventually the public come to see that we just had a misconception, and we can, if we get over our misconception and begin to see other beings as having the same rights as us, we change how we live and how we individually violate their rights. So violence is wrong, no matter who it's against, whether it's against another farmer or whether it's against an animal. I think it's a great mistake to focus on one individual. Farmers are only following the demand of the public, and it is the responsibility of every man, woman and child on the street not to violate the rights of other animals by demanding that farmers do what they do. So I think it's misplaced to target any one slaughterhouse or any one farmer. What we need to do is educate the public rationally. Having said that, it's very important that we realise the very great extent to which we violate the rights of other animals. And to do that, a lot of people need to see how bad this is before they change their behaviour. I don't necessarily agree with that approach, and as you can see with the Go Vegan World campaign, it's not the approach that we use. I don't think that we need to undermine the dignity of any victim of injustice, whether they're human or non-human, by showing the terrible things that they go through in order to respect them. But some people do need to see how bad this is before they change. Unfortunately, that's part of sometimes the human makeup.
Do you think if people were,
for instance,
yeah, but just on that, do you think if people were shown educational films, I mean a perfectly balanced film made by a journalist who was going to look at it from both sides of the argument, and the film included the rearing of the pigs and the cattle and the sheep, and that you got a full insight into how it was 24/7 on the farms. And you then were shown the slaughtering. The slaughtering had to be seen as part of the film. Not something that was blocked out or something that was pixeled or something that was being done in the next room while people stood outside. I mean, the full process of the slaughter, how it happens exactly. Do you think more people would become, would be giving consideration to becoming vegan?
Yeah, well, the very important fact is that people come to recognise that other animals share our capacity for physical and psychological feelings. It's what we call sentience. And that they learn that we are speciesist. In other words, we are discriminating against them on the simple, arbitrary fact that they are members of other species. We don't discriminate against cats and dogs in this way, and we shouldn't discriminate against other humans because of an arbitrary difference, such as membership of a particular group. So it's also wrong for us to discriminate against other animals. And you see, you didn't see the whole documentary last night. I actually did watch it. Unfortunately, when you show people the terrible violations that other animals go through, they say, well, this is just farming. And they think it's acceptable. So what we need to do is not so much focus on the indignity and the suffering of other animals, but the use of them, the fact that when we breed them and own them, when they are our property and we treat them as objects instead of as feeling beings, that is what's wrong, and that's what we need to focus on. That's the approach that we take in the Go Vegan World campaign. We show the sentience of other animals rather than the graphic stuff.
Yeah, you know, people are asking questions here. You know, we've covered this before and similar questions come up. And I see Stevie's asking this one about whether or not you eat bread and what your position is on the killing of insects by insecticides. And the general death that happens to living things right across the world on a daily basis. That is an example that he is giving.
Yeah, there. You see, a question like that is usually prompted by a defence mechanism where the person themselves feels uncomfortable about the fact that the vast majority of animals that we use and kill and harm unnecessarily. It's impossible for humans to live on this planet without inflicting a huge degree of harm on other life. And that's why I would say personally, one of the best things that we can do is watch our population. Overpopulation is a terrible problem. Veganism is about recognizing that other animals share our sentience, our ability to feel, and therefore it's wrong to use them unnecessarily. And we don't need to use them as food, and we don't need to kill them. Part of veganism is finding alternatives to harming other animals, and that also involves protecting the climate and the environment. So veganic agriculture, I would suggest that Stevie looks it up. It's growing, and it needs to grow faster. It's a way of producing our own food and our own clothing in harmony with nature, so that we're not using insecticides or fertilizers or pesticides, and that we're not harming the insects and the worms that live in the ground. And there are very effective ways of doing that. We get a fantastic crop of carrots every year. The only thing that we use is combination planting. We plant onions beside the carrots. So, you know, there are ways of avoiding the harm that we inflict. But a question that focuses on something like that is missing the bigger picture, which is that, you know, the numbers are actually difficult to comprehend, the numbers of animals that we kill every year. And part of vegan education, we need to bring this to a new level where the public begin to see that the process of breeding and owning other animals in itself is extremely harmful. And I'll give you an example. We run a vegan sanctuary, Eden Farmed Animal Sanctuary in County Meath, and a large number of the animals living on our sanctuary were rescued from the egg industry. Now, they are treated with the utmost respect. They get every care they possibly could have, and they will not be slaughtered. They will live to the natural end of their lives. But because they've been selectively bred to lay an egg every day in comparison to their wild comrades who only lay eggs once or twice a year for the purposes of rearing their young, every one of them is destined to die of ovarian cancer. And that's if they don't die before that from infection related to laying eggs or prolapsing. So it's the process by which we have dominated and owned and used other animals as our property that causes the greatest violation. And of course, the fact that everyone who's bred for human use will die in a slaughterhouse.
If we follow through on this utopia that you describe, How are we going to survive? How are we going to get the nourishment, the proteins, the food stuff that we need? We've already got a crisis in some parts of the world when it comes to hunger, starvation and poverty. If you had your way and you were able to impose your changes, the world could possibly grind to a halt.
Well, let me just be very clear that the world is grinding to a halt. We have entered the sixth great extinction of life on Earth. Very recently, we were issued with dire warnings of what is going to happen to our planet if we don't halt global warming. The solution, these are not the reasons to go vegan. The only reason to go vegan is that other animals have the right not to be used by us. But there are many, many benefits to veganism. Number one is that it is the easiest way to halt global warming and environmental destruction, because how we can very easily change what we eat. It's very easy to change what you eat. If you think of, I always use the example, if you go on holidays for the first few days or the first week, the food is different and very often we don't like it. And by the end of your second week, you're eating it and enjoying it. So what we eat is relatively easy to change and we get used to it very quickly. Secondly, 100% plant diet is nutritionally adequate. All the World Dietetics Associations are in agreement with that. It needs to be well planned and we can't afford to live on a plant food junk diet, but it is nutritionally adequate, and not only that, it prevents a lot of the causes of illness and early mortality that we suffer in the Western world. So I'm not describing a utopia. I'm describing some, this is a change that we're going to have to enact, whether you respect other animals' rights or not. We have to change how we live. And we, there are excellent scientists who are not vegan at all. People from the Oxford Martin Institute have published studies that show everything from human health, from early mortality, from workplace absenteeism, the environment, climate change, world hunger. Everything will benefit by us being vegan. These reports have been issued by people who are not even vegan themselves. And they're not even interested in animal rights. They're interested in the survival and the thriving of the human species on Earth.
One final point to you, because this is what started the conversation in the first place, just before we go, Sandra. A lot of people remarking on Piers Morgan criticising Greggs for coming up with a vegan alternative in one of their food ranges. People like Piers Morgan, who have very loud voices and are followed by millions of people via the media, is it important to target the Piers Morgans of this generation, or are people like Piers Morgan absolutely vital to protect the farming industry?
Frank, I prefer to speak to somebody like you any day of the week. This is a very serious issue that affects not only animal rights, it affects the children that we're leaving behind on this planet. We need to take this to a new level. Now, what Piers Morgan said has actually played right into the hands of the people manufacturing plant foods and catering to that rapidly growing market. So it's a little bit amusing, but we need to take the conversation into a new realm. It needs to be serious and it needs to be listened to.
Okay, we got to leave it there. Really appreciate your time. Sandra Higgins from Go Vegan World. Now, Sandra had a good 10 minutes there and I only quizzed her a couple of questions. She was making her point with regards to why it's important, in her opinion, to be vegan and why it'll be important to the future of the world to be vegan. I will equally give 10 minutes to anyone who is prepared to argue against her. We have a massive farming industry in this country. The lines are open, 0289033105. Neil is in Guildford and he says, Frank, how's the weather? We will always have farmers. He then goes on to be a wee bit flippant by saying, how would you ever get your car pulled out of a ditch in the snow? And he puts little emojis of loads of tractors and horses and cows and plants and smiles. And he says, thanks, Frank. This is Neil in Guildford. And then in bold lettering, proud to be a farmer. How important are the farmers? 0289033105. Stevie, who's really into making bread, reiterates, does that vegan lady eat bread? Can she justify eating bread? Other people are saying, can vegans justify being out and about in the traffic as they are killing all sorts of bugs on their car windscreen? Let me speak to John, who's in this line. Morning, John.
Hello, Frank.
John, you're a farming man. Farming man, yes?
Yes. I farm. I have dairy cows, sheep, cattle. You know, no pigs, unfortunately. But being sensible about the thing, if your woman, she said they're about everybody being vegan and looking after all the rest of it. If everybody turned to being a vegan and not eating meat and stuff like that there, you wouldn't need the animals. The animals would all be done away with. You need all the land you have for to grow barley, wheat, corn, whatever you need for to feed the people. So, like, the only animals you'd ever see would be, like, in a zoo or just on special farms that we kept just to look at the animals. You know, like, it's a... I don't agree with cruelty to animals. I don't do that there. But if you've ever been to a slaughterhouse, they are treated with respect on it. Like, you know, I know they're going to be slaughtered for food, but they're not abused. you know, not everybody, you know, has the same. Like, you have to realize that, like, you don't need the animals if you're just going to grow food, as in wheat and corn and barley. Plus, when you're doing that, you will need some sort of pest control, because of that much, you know, because you've got many different varieties all together, the pests are really going to take over.
You see, John, I had the conversation with Sandra, and I was very much in listening mode, because I think sometimes it's good to do it like this and allow the listeners to make up their mind. But there's a question that's so obvious that's jumping out from what you've just said about the animals going to the slaughterhouse and they are treated with respect. But, you know, slaughter and respect don't really go hand in hand.
Yeah, I don't, you know, you're thinking, you know, why I mean respect is, like, they're not abused, they're not hammered, they're not, it says, like, you know, you're using them for food. But that's what you're meant to do with animals, you know, that you rear them for food. They understand that. I farm, as same as I milk cows and produce milk, and people drink the milk, they use it for cheeses and all the rest of it, yogurts and stuff. You know, these are what I've done all my life. I don't abuse the animals. Your woman was trying to make out that all farmers abuse animals. They don't. You get the odd person that's bad, but you get that in society everywhere.
Well, she does use examples.
You get people that murder people.
Yeah, but she'll use examples of when a cow calves and the calf has taken off the cow, that the maternal instinct is broken there for the cow and the calf. She says about the hens are specially developed so as they lay every day, where it isn't natural for a female bird to lay like that every day. She gives examples, many examples, of where the animals are specially nurtured to do things that they wouldn't naturally do for maximum yield and maximum profit. And that is the industry. I'm not arguing on her behalf here. I'm just teasing out some questions, because I'm in a very interesting position with regards to this rapidly growing debate. And I put my cards on the table. I'm from farming stock. I come from a farming background. I spent most of my childhood back and forward on a family farm. My relatives farm. I'm on a farm, if not every week, certainly a few times a month, I'm on a farm. I'm a person who lives among farmers, who most of my friends are farmers. So that's the background that I'm coming from. But I personally don't eat meat. I haven't eaten meat since the 1980s. I haven't eaten any beef. I haven't eaten any ham, any pork. I haven't eaten any chicken. I very easily left that out of my diet in the 1980s. But I'm certainly not a vegan, because I do eat cheese and I eat eggs, and I never question where a leather pair of shoes come from, etc., etc. So I'm sort of caught in the middle. But one thing I do know for sure is you can definitely live without meat. You can easily live without red meat and white meat. It's a cakewalk. You can do it, and many, many people could do it.
Yes, I agree with you. They could, surely. But, you know, everybody has a choice, you know. But I'm just saying that if everybody was doing that, there wouldn't be animals. You know, and you'd like to be like in a zoo, because you wouldn't need them. Your feeds would all be torn to producing barley, wheat and stuff like that there.
Yeah, but is there any
need? You understand
need?
What I mean?
Like, of course, but is there any need to keep them, just to kill them? And I know I don't want to give you any more difficult a session of questions than I had to Sandra, because I'm simply, I'm listening here, and I'm allowing the people who are listening to the programme to ask the questions. But
because people have a choice, think, that they can eat meat or not.
But a lot of people, if you rear an animal, a lot of people would say it's there, it's part of the farm, you see the whites of its eyes every day, and eventually it goes away in a lorry. Now, I know you don't go with it in the lorry. I know that you accept that the people...
I do.
But when the people in the abattoirs are professional and they do their job properly and they're well inspected, I accept all of that. But the animal that you reared, in the end, gets killed. You wouldn't do that with your Labrador.
In countries to do.
Oh, I know, but that's, we don't want a free fall. We want to correct
no, that's
where
why
the difficulties
you have,
may
you know,
be.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with that there. I'm saying everybody has a choice, but I'm just saying that if everybody went vegan, they have to realise that there would be no animals on the farms. Yes, yeah. You'd have your pet dog or your cat or whatever, but you'd have more rats, you'd have more mice, you'd have to put down poison and bait them. You have to kill them, otherwise all your grain and stuff will all be eaten. You have your pesticides, you know, that kills the barley and mildew and stuff like that. There. You have to treat that because you'd have to do it in such a vast scale for to feed everybody in the world. You'd have to be using some sort of pesticide for to control the, you know, them sort of things. It's not just all, like, you just can't just go vegan and say the world's going to be cured. That's what I'm saying.
No, I get what you're saying, and your points are strong. Sandra's points are strong. Your points are strong as well. Is there a worry in the farming industry that we're having conversations like this so often?
Not really, because it's good to have a choice. It's good to have conversations so that you bring point across and let people make up their own mind. And you're saying about their, your woman said about the hens being bred for to lay eggs. A hen's whole life is to, you know, have an egg, lay an egg. But if you lift the egg and eat the egg, she'll keep on laying. Unless you leave the eggs for her to actually hatch on, she'll keep laying every day for the whole of her life. If you lift the egg and eat it. You know, and if you leave it, I have hens here and they've went off, they've laid their eggs, they've made a nest, they've come back with half a dozen chickens. They grow up, they lay eggs, we lay the eggs, whatever we eat, and that there's other ones don't go and hatch out any eggs at all, or any chickens at all, they just lay away.
Yeah, but her argument is that the hens that you have, the hens that are being either free range or factory farmed, are bred to be like that. A hen in the wild doesn't lay at that rate.
She does. She does. She will lay away all the time. If she's out in the wild, she'll lay, she'll hatch on her half dozen eggs in about a month's time. She'll leave them and go and start and lay again.
Yeah, but those are domesticated hens that would go out into the wild. The original wild hen wouldn't lay at that rate. That's the point she was making.
Yeah, but where do you see, you know, every hen is domesticated. There's no actual wild hens now that you can see. Like, where would you go to see a wild hen?
That is a good question, and on that we will leave it. Where would you see a wild hen? If you know, do let us know. It'd be like maybe trying to see a hen's tooth. Good speaking to you, John. Thanks for your opinion. Thank you.
That's okay.
Thank you. I suppose some of you may argue a moor hen. Right, 0289033105. If you're just switching on the radio, it's a very interesting discussion because I simply don't know where I stand on it, and it's something that we're going to have to form an opinion on because the times, they are a-changing. All this on the back of Greg's introducing a vegan sausage roll and Piers Morgan getting snooty about it.